Welcome to A Girl's Eye View, where women share their personal experiences navigating the world of flight training and beyond. We're offering a fresh perspective on aviation with plenty of laughs, real talk, and the occasional, I can't believe I did that moment. Tune in for a fun, honest look at aviation from our point of view. I'm your host, Pam, with my co-hosts Rachel and Jen. Now, let's look at things from A Girl's Eye View.
Good morning and welcome back to A Girl's Eye View. I am your host, Jen, and today I'm going to be recording my first mini-sode for you guys about air traffic control. This is something I have become very passionate about in the last couple months slash years as I applied and have been accepted as an air traffic controller. So I will be leaving this spring to head to Oklahoma City to begin my training. So what is ATC? Essentially, air traffic controllers are a group of about 14,000 people right now that work for the FAA that are controlling our nation's airspace, the NAS, the NAS. These air traffic controllers work in a variety of situations, including at towers on airports, which is where I will be training. There's also big radar rooms at other FAA facilities that are known as centers. I'm going to kind of give you guys a little bit more of a read on what all these do, because there are three specific types that I really want to talk about and kind of help you understand how these more than 14,000 air traffic controllers work to safely move 70,000 flights across the NAS on a daily basis, which is crazy. And that doesn't just include your big airline traffic. That includes airlines, big box carriers like FedEx, UPS. That includes GA flights, so general aviation, little four-seat small planes that can include like the business jets, helicopters, all that kind of stuff is included in those 70,000 daily flights. So a tower controller manages airport traffic within about 3 to 30 mile radius of their airport. They're what you think of in those big standard glass towers that is the typical like ATC kind of look. They give also pilots taxiing directions around airports, takeoff clearances. They give instrument clearances if you're on an instrument flight plan, all that kind of stuff. They also provide a lot of separation with landing and departing traffic, and they handle the transfer of control from an aircraft, from their personal airspace right at the airport, out to the centers. And I'll get into centers in a little bit. We then have terminal radar approach control facilities, a TRACON, so-called. These are the guys that work in radar rooms, so typically no windows, that are usually on airports. They work with the tower controllers and help provide separation and movement of departing aircraft. They usually have a little bit bigger of a space, so they usually handle traffic anywhere from 15 to about 50 miles from the radius from their airport. And typically, they handle traffic from the surface, so whatever that is above sea level, so zero. If you're at Boston Logan, it's like 6 feet above sea level, all the way up to about 17,000 feet before they hand it off to our last segment, which are en route center controllers, which you'll hear them just referred to as a center controller. Center controllers work in about 22 facilities across the country. They each manage, like each center, manages about 100,000 square miles of land. So for like Boston Center, they have all of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and even a little bit in upstate New York. So they have a huge amount of land that they are responsible for moving airplanes over. These centers are 24-hour locations, and They typically provide service for anything over 17,000 feet. So it tends to be mostly your jets, whether that's like a Vision jet or the private jets, all the way up to the big Boeing Airbus products that you'd see with airlines. They typically have big radars. So that is how they are moving traffic throughout their facilities. As I'm sure a lot of you have seen online, the FAA is currently hiring and trying to boost the numbers of FAA controllers. I know that I personally started applying for this process back in November of 2022 was my first bid, and I ended up getting through three bids later on the spring 2024 bid. I can talk a little bit about the process as I just went through it. So my first step was my application. I went in as a tier two, no prior experience slash no college education, as in I did not go to a school that specifically had an air traffic program. There are a growing number across the United States. I didn't even know this was an option. My bachelor's is in animal science, as I am leaving my current career as a vet tech to bridge into air traffic and the aviation sphere. I then did my ATSA, which is the Air Traffic Skills Assessment exam. It's had a bunch of different names over the years. So if you ever get a chance to talk to a controller, they might refer to it as the ATSAT. There's a bunch of different things that you can get with that. And then after that, it's a big waiting game. You get your TOL, which is your tentative offer letter. A couple months later, I got mine, I think 5 months after I first took my ATSA. And so from then, I started doing all of my hiring requirements. So I went and got a second class medical with an FAA approved aviation medical examiner who specified in air traffic controllers, which I didn't know prior to this, as I hold a medical already for my pilot's license that I need to go see someone separate. She was great. So that was a really cool experience. I went and did MMPI, which is a big personality test. I got fingerprinted. I did an FBI background check. I did drug testing. It's a pretty extensive process. And obviously, they're going to spend a lot of time on my education. And I waited a bunch of time after that. And then I got my class dates and full offer letter, which was really exciting. And I'll be heading down this spring. So when I head to Oklahoma City, I will be doing a couple different classes. So my first set of classes is going to be air traffic control basics. So that's going to be learning a lot of the phraseology, learning how to identify different planes, learning what a radar looks like, how to use a radar, all that kind of stuff. And then I will move into my specific category, which is terminal tower, and be learning how to work spacing, how to give taxi instructions, all that kind of stuff, which I'm hoping I'm going to have a little leg up on because I have my pilot's license and I've been using the air traffic control system as a pilot for a few years now. So I'm really excited to see how that goes. Yeah, that is really what I have so far for my journey. I will probably give you guys another update in the future for a couple reasons. I'm obviously going to be protecting where I'm going, staying, all that kind of stuff, and like what days I'll actually be there, just for personal privacy. But if you guys have any questions, let us know in the comment section. We'll be happy to answer them. And then, just as a quick reminder from the Girls Eye View cast, our views do not represent the FAA, any of our employers, or anyone that we speak about in this. These opinions are strictly our own, and we wanted to share this information with you on our podcast. I hope you enjoyed this mini-sode with Jen of A Girls Eye View.